You could hear a pin drop in the lobby. It was that quiet.
The referee letting play continue. One last throw.
It's obviously hard now because of the way that's all ended, but
Scales is up after it. Scales wins ahead.
I'll have that forever.
Inner Drive, Episode 1 with Troy Parrott, out now on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by Allianz, a proud sponsor of Irish sport.
Off the ball.
The Sunday Paper Review
on Off the Ball.
And you're welcome to the Sunday Paper Review and Off the Ball. It's John Duggan with you today, sitting in for Adrian Barry. Hope you're doing great, folks, enjoying your bank holiday weekend. And we're joined in studio, delighted to be by, to meet people, as a dub, it's difficult for me to say this, but the former All-Ireland winner with me, the Colm O'Rourke and the ex-Irish rugby international, Jackie Shields. Colm and Jackie, very good morning to you both.
Good morning, John.
Morning to you too, John.
It's a tough morning for you, Colm, because I believe you've just told me you're an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, well, I was actually at the last Champions League final when Arsenal were beaten in Paris by Barcelona. Remember Belletti on a very wet night. It used to be on a Wednesday night at that time, of course. And I've been lucky that actually I was at three Champions League final. I was at that famous one with Manchester United and Bayern Munich and Barcelona. And I was in Wembley when Barcelona played United off the pitch 3-1. Iniesta and Xavi and Messi ran the show that night. So I've been fortunate. I'd love to have gone to Budapest, but it was impossible to get a ticket. But it was still a great season. But I thought Arsenal, they're functional and they win and they create set pieces. They get goals from corners and frees. But even though I'm a fan and a supporter, I'd like a bit more flair from them. And I suppose PSG had more flair, were the better team. I thought it was a poor match and very few chances. I suppose PSG were the better side, created slightly more. I thought Arsenal could have been a bit more adventurous and added because the PSG defence looked quite shaky.
Does it soften the blow that you've won the league title?
Not really, because I think they've won that before, but I think it's like a team winning a league in Gaelic football. There's only one Sam Maguire, and being the champions of Europe is the ultimate pinnacle. It's like a club in a county to be sort of accepted as one of the top teams. You need to win a senior club championship in your county. For a county, you need to win the All-Ireland. And I think for a team in Europe to be accepted as one of the great teams, you need to win the Champions League.
Do you follow a English soccer team, Jackie?
Yeah, I do, actually. Well, it only counts as a big one, but we won the Europa League. I'm a bit of a Villa fan.
Right, okay.
And I always get asked why, and I always go back to the same reason, Paul McGrath. I used to love Paul McGrath when I was growing up, so I kind of support them. I do like Manchester United now, and I'm glad they're kind of getting back to good ways under Michael Carrick. But yeah, so Villa had a great season. We finished, I think it was at fourth, and we won the Europa. So not the big one, but still nice for them to win that.
Well, Unai Emery is a specialist in that competition. The Barcelona-Manchester United game, and what a privilege to be at that. That was some of the best football you're ever going to see in your life.
Absolutely. And I always said to people that you were looking out at this and you had Xavi and Iniesta and you had David Villa and, of course, Messi. And they seemed to own the ball and play it in the size of a tennis court. And United couldn't get near them. And they didn't seem to just move the little bit, but the absolute skill. And I suppose, you know, they won with adventure and a bit of panache. And I suppose Manchester City used to win like that as well and go back to the great Real Madrid team. So I think I like a bit of flair, and I wish Arsenal would go and buy a creative type midfielder and a striker. And I think then, because they have the defence, they have everything else, they're a very disciplined, well-structured team, but they just don't score enough goals from open play.
Just going through the supplements here on the front page of the Sunday Independent, so near and yet so far. Arsenal heartbreak as PSG retain their European crown. And Iraola set for Reds talks after Slot exit. The Bournemouth manager that's just left the south coast of England. He's left the Bournemouth job after doing such a good job there. For the Sunday Times, we got pure agony. Valiant Arsenal denied first Champions League crown in a penalty shootout. And also Slot out at Liverpool. We have the back of the Mail. Heartbreak, penalty pain for Gabriel and Eze as Arsenal's Euro dream dies, and Iraola favourite to replace sacked Slot in Kop hot seat. and also the back of the Sunday Mirror. Two things, really. The dream has gone, the Gunners, no double for Arteta, as brave Arsenal are beaten on penalties, and Slot cops it, and Donny favourite as shocked Reds boss is sacked. Going through the writing on the Champions League final, it's hard, obviously, for journalists to turn it around, but I suppose maybe the earlier kickoff time did help. Martin Samuel in the Sunday Times was good enough. I thought Richard Jolly, who's in the Independent, repurposed from the UK Independent, was decent. I mean, the Richard Jolly, to kind of buttress and back up your stat there, column about Arsenal's defensive structure and what happened in the game. I mean, he sets it out pretty starkly here, Richard Jolly. Live by the set piece, die by the set piece. Maybe Arsenal's Champions League campaign ended with defeat, and yet undefeated. They did not lose a game in 90 or 120 minutes, let alone a tie. Results gave them a fine claim to be Europe's best team this season. But against the side who retained the distinction of being champions of Europe, who passed the eye test as the outstanding outfit, they played with an inferiority complex. Arsenal completed 199 passes, PSG 837. Indeed, Arsenal only completed 1.3 passes per kilometre. Their players ran over 150, some 6.6 more than PSG. It was the price of not having the ball. UEFA's possession stats gave them a 36% share, Opta's a mere 24.7%. The latter felt the more accurate.
Yeah, and PSG were able to pass and move a bit like the great teams of the past, even go back to Spurs in the 60s under Bill Nicholson. You know, that was the philosophy, Wenger, Guardiola. And it's missing a bit at Arsenal. It's a pity he went to penalties and that Gabriel, who has really been a hero for them this year and was last night as well, was the fall guy. But I suppose penalties brings its own drama. And if you go back, the previous week I watched Meath and Kildare play a Leinster minor final. It was only 17 and went extra time and then went to penalties. And unfortunately, Meath's best player, probably Harry McGurk, ended up missing a penalty, a bit like Gabriel, and he's a fantastic young fella. I think it's very tough when you bring penalties to sport. It's okay at the highest level of European Cup finals and World Cup finals, but for young lads in a minor final, it's very tough that somebody has to miss for the other team to win. So I think in Gaelic football, it's a bit misplaced. I don't like it, but it certainly added to the drama last night. And as I say, Gabriel, who has been a hero all year, it was tough on him that he missed out.
Yes. Anything that you spotted in the papers about Arsenal? There's many more of the match reports that we're seeing here, Jackie, at the moment.
Yeah, like, I suppose, as the paper said, and as Colm said, like, defence is great. You can stop goals coming in, but it's the way the French play, isn't it? It's the same with rugby games. No matter what you score, they're always going to score more. It was Barcelona back in the 90s and the 2000s. I suppose what interests me about PSG is that they've won it since Mbappe left.
Yes,
I love that a little bit. I love that, you know, for a player with such stigma around him, and he was the world's greatest, and they had Messi as well, didn't they, at PSG, and yes, they had Neymar as well, and with those three players, they didn't win the Champions League, and suddenly without those players, a team can be great, and obviously they have amazing players in there, but as you said, like, it's just, I think it's credible, that manager as well, it's his third
Luis Enrique, yeah.
Yeah, his third Champions League, I think he had two with PSG and one with Barcelona,
yes.
So I know he had a tough, his off-field life has been tough with his daughter passing away. I think it's incredible. So yeah, like, it's as good as your defence is. If you can't score goals, if you can't score points, if you can't put the ball in the net, you're not going to win games.
Martin Samuel writing in the Sunday Times, one of the great defensive displays, but play like this and it just takes one slip. My quote here, when Jose Mourinho's team has produced performances of such cussedness, we watch with admiration. What's so different? Are Arsenal as good as PSG as creative force? No, as Jackie was saying there. So why play as if they are? Because Bayern did. Well, we all admire Bayern. We noticed they were not in Budapest, though, however, and also to finish here as well. Unsurprising, of course, everybody knows Arsenal got the best defence in English football and therefore one of the best defences in the world. Yet this just wasn't about the back four. Arsenal's wide players, Bukayo Saka and Leandro Trossard, were exceptional in limiting the influence of Kvisha Kvaratskhelia and Desiree Doué. And Mosquera was strong in his right-back role, bar the minor blemish of a yellow card for taking his time over a throw-in. But it only takes a moment for that to change, and it did. Cruel sport, this. If Arsenal win the penalty shootout, everybody's saying they're geniuses for being so defensive.
Absolutely, and I suppose defence has been the pillar of their team. For the
warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Whole year, but it reminds me of the time Sunderland beat Leeds in an FA Cup final back in, what was it, 1973, was
yes.
it? And they got a goal early on, and they hung on, and they hung on. And I suppose soccer is a game like that where you can pinch a goal, and if you have a good defence, you have a fair chance of holding out. It's not like football where you can rain over points, or in rugby where you can't really protect the lead. So justice, I think, was just about served by PSG winning. And I would say that it also is a lesson for the future for Arsenal that along with the great defence and the great discipline and the great structure they have built this year, they need to bring in more flair.
Mm. How important was that when you're playing for teams in sports, that the attacking flair, that those X-rated players that you'd have would be an Alisson Miller or a Bernard Flynn?
Yeah, like obviously you want, you know, you're only as good as your whole team, so you want your player, your whole squad to be consistent. But without that one or two players that can create something, you're going to be a very good team. As you said, like Ali Miller back in the day could, you know, she could get out, she could create space and a stamp if you wanted to, you know, Niamh Briggs when you needed 3 points and penalty, she could put it over. So you do need those players that can get you out of a hole or do something special to kind of get the team going. And, you know, you talk about Manchester United when they played Bayern Munich, but look at the attacking line they had. They had like Sheringham, they had York, they had Cole, you know, they had Solskjaer. They had four players up front. So one of them is going to get you a goal. Whereas last night, you know, Saka was off by the end of the game, as good as he is, but he had to come off, and you need to have someone up there who's going to pinch you a goal or get you something. And
one shot on target, and that was Havertz's goal.
Yes. Yeah. I thought the PSG goalie is very weak.
He wasn't tested in the shootout at all. He didn't put the ball on target.
But even his attempt for Havertz's goal, like he stayed on the line. I thought he was dreadful looking, and I think that they should have been trying to put him under a bit more pressure, test him out. And his kicking out of the ball and kicking it over the sideline, he seemed to be a man gripped by nerves. But teams which are structured like Arsenal and methodical and have a lot of good qualities, they don't flourish in the chaos of games. And like what's more and more, and I saw it yesterday with Munster and the Bulls, and you saw it with Leinster in the Champions League or the Champions Cup final last week, is the teams that can play well in the chaos and good decision makers and leaders and things like that, and it's the same in Gaelic football, they tend to win out if you have that quality and let the game become chaotic. And I suppose that is one of the things Iriola is supposed to bring if he comes to Liverpool, is that he trusts his players to flourish in chaos. And I suppose it was the same thing with all the top managers. If you go back to Shankly or any of those people, they trusted their players to play. Arsenal seemed always to me to play in a bit of a straitjacket, and I hope that maybe that Arteta will now plunge into the market and buy a couple of really outstanding players.
Okay, that's the verdict on Arsenal and Paris Saint-Germain last night. On Liverpool, many articles. Was there anything that stood out, Colm, on Liverpool?
Well, what struck me about the articles on Liverpool is almost everybody who wrote on them, and Jonathan Norcroft and Paul Joyce, they none of them seemed to have much sympathy for Slot, and they said really his time has come. And it seemed to be like that. I saw a couple of interviews with Jamie Carragher and other Liverpool players as well, and basically they said, you know, he had run his course, and that they needed to get rid of him. Now, not too many were saying this publicly beforehand, but there does seem to be a deep well of opinion that he hadn't got the support of the players anymore. He hadn't got the support, obviously, of the fans, that they didn't like this style of play, and they wanted to go back to the Klopp era of press, play at 100 miles an hour. It was more attractive. And, of course, they were winning. But what struck me, I think, was the Paul Joyce writing said he was the first title-winning manager ever in Liverpool to be sacked. Now, they've sacked a few, Brendan Rodgers, and they got rid of a few before that. But he was the first, actually, title-winning manager that they have sacked in their history. Now, that's what he says. I was trying to work it out, but obviously he'd know more about it than I did.
Well, Klopp left of his own volition, and then Dalglish quit in 1991. Yes. Joe Fagan stepped down after Heysel.
Bill Shankly
retired. Bob Paisley
stepped
down. Bill Shankly. So you'll have to go back probably a long way.
Yeah, well, Shankly retired and then wanted to come back, and I think that in the end they had to tell him stay away from training because the boys were calling him boss, and they had to write him. And Shankly got upset and annoyed, and he never had the same feeling for Liverpool again, I think, which was sad for a man who had contributed so much to the development of their history.
Just on Lewis Steele in the Mail on Slash, the Anfield loyalists are a knowledgeable and understandable crowd. After seeing the team win only two titles in 35 years, they do not expect or feel entitled to success. So when they turn, you know it's serious. When they booed for a third time in a matter of months during and after the draw at home to Chelsea 3 weeks ago, it felt like Slot, a man who looked infallible last year, had reached a point of no return. The hierarchy were not blind or deaf. They could see the football was dull and how fans headed for the exit, the early exit. Even walking around the city was the talk of the town. Get in the cab in Liverpool and you'd do well to last 2 minutes without the driver telling you he wanted Slot gone. That's the world, though, isn't it now, Jackie? Everything is accelerated in terms of opinion, and there's a lot of rage in terms of social media.
Yeah, like when I was reading the articles there, I actually hadn't realised they finished third under Klopp the previous year before Slot came in. So to win the Premier League the first season obviously was fantastic. And I suppose most people would say he did it with the players that Klopp brought in, but obviously he got them working well. I think for me the biggest issue was he spent so much money. I think he spent like
450 million. Yeah,
like way more than the previous year. And to spend that money and then to have such a poor season. And as you said, I think the fans can play a big part in it. But when the players turn against you, so like obviously Mo Salah with the social media tweets, and he was obviously a god and loved by the loved by the fans. So when your main players are kind of turning against you, it's going to be difficult.